You are listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast, a podcast to inspire and encourage you to live your healthiest life. This episode is dedicated to those with autoimmune diseases. This one is going to be about autoimmune diseases, my personal experience, and then things I'm finding that I found interesting, that intriguing. And then again, if you hear anything on here, it's time to go do some of your own research, and it's time to like own your own health. It's time to like look deeper at like what you do on a daily basis that can really move the needle in one direction or in the other direction in your health, in your overall feeling good in your health. Well, many people suffer every single day with autoimmune diseases such as MS, Hashimoto's, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, neuropathy, fibromyalgia, ataxia. There's probably going to be more in time. And I found this little doctor who's going to explain autoimmune. It's on YouTube. Not that many views, done like 11 years ago, but I thought he does a good way explaining it. So I'm going to let him try to turn it up. And I want you to hear a little bit of this and then continue listening as we explore these options. And I might do some more on this. I just think it's too many people are suffering, and is a drug a fix or not a fix to an autoimmune issue? Let's explore the options.
In an autoimmune disease, he has a PhD in immunology. He is one of the best in the world. He's written about 400 papers on immune diseases. And all of this research I'm about to share with you about the immune system is based on his years of research and his labs. And we've got some amazing laboratories that are available to help understand where your condition is coming from and what you really need to do to fix yourself and stop this problem and not, you know, live in the dark. Dr. Aristo Vajdani is his name. He's a PhD in immunology. And this is where we're going with neurochemistry and neuropharmacology. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is draw out and describe to you what is causing all the antibodies in your system. You know, whether you have those thyroid antibodies, or you have MS antibodies, or you have ANA antibodies, you've got to understand what the root cause of that is and how to stop those antibodies from sticking to your nervous system or your thyroid or your brain and wherever that is, okay? So let's understand something. In our systems, we have these invaders. And these invaders, they're called antigens. Antigens are anything from foods to parasites. We can have yeast growths in our intestines. We can have bacteria growths in our intestines. There's even research that shows people who have episodes of anger, and we all do, all of us have stress, right? I mean, you tell me if you don't have stress, and you're the only one that I've met out there. So even stress in our lives, and we all suffer from that, stress causes what I'm about to share with you. Even insomnia, most of my patients that come in with these autoimmune disorders, again, whether it's MS or it's thyroid condition or lupus and so on, they have sleeping problems. So research has shown that what I'm about to share with you, these different immune cells that I'm going to share with you, inflammatory immune cells that attack your system, they will cause a flare-up, sleepless nights will cause a flare-up of these different immune cells. So insomnia could be another cause. Newest research that came out in the last year, in 2010, shows us that eating foods at high cooked temperatures are changing the proteins in the foods that we're eating, and the body is not able to absorb those proteins, and the proteins create these different immune cells that I'm about to share with you. So another cause of this immune condition could be, high temperature, high temp, cooking. Now the reason why I'm listing all of these, because any of these we consider antigens, but you can also cause those invaders. Antigens are invaders, okay? Now, what happens here is when the antigen comes into the body, we have these different white blood cells. I'm going to put this up here as WBC, which stands for a white blood cell. There's actually one in particular, but you don't need to know the name of that one. If you really care, I can share the research with you. But what the white blood cells do is they recognize the antigen, the invasion in the system. When the white blood cell recognizes the antigen of the system, it produces another cell. And this is what starts the whole process. It produces an antigen-presenting cell. This antigen-presenting cell now, its job is to call out to your immune system for help, okay? It's telling the immune system, we have an invasion, we have a problem that we need to clean up. So the antigen-presenting cell comes down, and it calls on a T helper cell. Now, before I go any further, let me give you some other words so you're familiar with, or somewhat familiar with, at least you could follow what I'm going to describe to you here. We have in our immune system, right, I'm sure you know you have red blood cells and you have white blood cells, okay? Well, you know the red blood cells carry oxygen to the brain and to the body, and the white blood cells are what fight off disease in our system, right? They fight off your infections and so on. Well, we have different kinds of white blood cells. We have what's called T helper. We have regulator cells. We have suppressor cells. We have natural killer cells. We have B cells. We have T cells. I don't expect you to remember all these. I just want you to understand as I describe this to you, okay? And you can look back at this video again so you can reference some things if you get a little confused. When the antigen-presenting cell calls on the T helper, excuse me, let me step back one second. We have another kind of cell called a cytokine. These are inflammatory cells. These cells inflame tissues. These cells are what start the process of creating the antibodies that attack your tissues. Now, when the antigen-presenting cell, because of the invasion, that's recognized, the antigen-presenting cell calls on the T helper. The T helper then comes up and sends a signal out in one direction. Let me erase some of these words here so we can draw this out for you all. The T helper sends the signal out in one direction, and it sends a signal out in another direction. In one direction is the B cells. In another direction, it calls on the T cells. Okay, let me give you an understanding. I like to use this analogy to help you understand what's going on with your immune system. Think of, and hopefully this doesn't hit anybody in a bad emotional way, but I'm going to use a story that happened here in the United States, a pretty bad chaotic event that occurred. The antigen, think of 9/11, New York City. The plane that hit the building and caused all the chaos. The plane was the antigen. The building is your body, okay? When the antigen invaded the city and hit the building, there were people on the ground who saw this plane hit the building and said, oh my God, what is that chaos? What just happened? A plane hit a building? They picked up their phone, and they called 911, besides maybe calling a loved one or somebody, but they called 911. And the 911 operator picked up the phone. So the plane, so-called, the antigen invaded the body. The antigen-presenting cell, which is the person who picked up the phone, calls on the 911 operator of the immune system, the helper. The 911 operator now, your T helper cell, has to send a signal out. Once it got enough signals in and alerted it that there's an invasion in the body, it sends a signal out to the, in 911, right? It was the police and fire rescue. It sent a signal out to the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. So we had a call on some cells in our system that there was an invasion, there's chaos going on. We have calls coming out to another set in our system that there's an invasion and chaos going on. Now, let's step back a moment, okay? When the antigen-presenting cell sends a signal to the T helper cell, it produces an inflammation process. The first cytokine that comes off of this is called interleukin-1. Interleukin-1 is produced, is spawned off of the call from the antigen presenting, telling the T helper. Now, we have more cytokines, more inflammatory cells that are produced when the T helper tells the T cells of our immune system, which is also known as the T helper 1 group or TH1 group, it produces more of these inflammation cells, pro-inflammatory cells, disease cells, cytokine cells called interleukin 2, interleukin 12, interleukin 18. It produces tissue necrosing factor, tissue necrosing, that means tissue death factor cells. It produces interferon cells. On the opposite side, when the T helper is calling on the other side of the immune system called the B cells, which is also called the T helper 2 response, or the TH2 it's called, it produces an interleukin 4, interleukin 5, interleukin 6, interleukin 10, interleukin 13. Now, not that you have to memorize all of these, and that's not my point of sharing this with you. I want you to understand what's going on here. Again, let's go back. We have an invasion. We have foods. We have bugs, critters, parasites. We have yeast, fungus. We have insomnia. We have anger issues that will develop an antigen-presenting cell that sends out a signal to the T helper, and then it produces this whole inflammation process. Okay? Next, what happens is when the fire is burning so much from so much invasion and we can't calm down the inflammation, we have a third type of an immune response that might occur. And this cell, called interleukin 6, is in the third process. It's like the fire is not burning enough, so there's more gasoline that hits that flame and it just explodes. And this turns into another immune response called the T helper 17 response. So we have another cell, we have an interleukin 6, and some others that are involved in this process called interleukin 17 and an interleukin 23. These three are showing that there's a TH17, that the fire is burning so long that it just can't calm down. And this is a much worse process than what had it originally started out with. So now, what we understand in functional immunology, first of all, is this is what the story is of your immune system. This whole process, which we can divide in half, because you're most likely going to be either a TH1 or you're going to be a TH2 process. What we've got to understand is, in order to back this up and calm down the inflammation, you don't want immune-suppressing drugs. First of all, you need your immune system to fight a battle for you. But second, if you're just taking a medicine that's going to suppress the immune response and you don't take away what the causes were that started this whole response in the beginning, what good are you getting? What good are you getting done? You know, some patients ask me, well, why didn't my doctor ever explain this to me? Well, you know, first of all, I spend 2 to 3 weekends every month going to school to further educate myself. But second, doctors get in their rhythm and all they know is what the drug company rep tells them to prescribe to you for this condition. They just don't know. And maybe some of them are better than others. And I'm not here to say that I'm better than them. I just do different things. I understand this immune system in a little more detailed manner than what you're hearing. You've got to understand this whole process that's going on in your immune system is what's creating thyroid antibodies to attack your thyroid. It's what's creating the antibodies to attack your brain, eat up the brain of the spinal cord and cause lack of electrical firing down the arm of the leg and causing paralysis down that body, or causing rashes of lesions from lupus and so on. All of these different autoimmune diseases, they're all the same. And what Cyrex Labs is going to be able to do for us with Dr. Vajdani, the PhD immunologist who I mentioned earlier, is what we'll be able to do is we can run tissue panels and find out where this whole activity, this whole immune system response is, where it's attacking your system from brain to body, which is going to be incredible. It's amazing, it's exciting, and we can help calm down this whole process. So what we've got to do is...
So to find this guy. This was 11 years ago. So let me go to it. This is Ask Dr. Herman. I thought it was really cool that he is explaining that you'd never get to the root cause. Sometimes when you go see a rheumatologist or you see a primary doctor and you have an autoimmune issue. I had an autoimmune issue. I had what he was saying. I had all these things showing up in my blood. I had all these symptoms. This is a long time ago. And I changed a lot of things in my body. And doesn't mean that I'm linked to it. You know, there's a link also to parasites and what he's saying and all these infections and autoimmune. So that's what we're going to listen to next. So stay tuned for that. Just a minute. You know how I love promoting other podcasters. Here's a clip from this Dr. Annie Horman. You can check out her on YouTube. You can check out her on podcast, Podbean, or I think she's also on YouTube for her podcast. Let's just do this clip about the liver, thyroid, parasite, and gallbladder and tie it in to the autoimmune issue. I think it ties in well with this whole conversation is my body, how do I repair what's broken? You know, how do I repair what's broken? Is there a drug for everything? Is it really that? Or do I take a natural more approach? So let's just explore this a little.
And we're also talking about EMFs, which you and I are going to delve into later together. It's going to be so fun. And so we're basically inundated all the time with these various types of toxins that our bodies did not evolve to process. And the thyroid is particularly sensitive to those, right? And the liver's job is your body's, is to be your body's whole body filter, essentially.
Sorry, my dogs are around, so sometimes things happen in moving and trying to record. So stay with me. Here you go.
Things that are in the environment by happenstance. You know, even by the EPA's own numbers, in the U.S., we're importing over 250 pounds of chemicals per person per day. And that does not count herbicides, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, fuel.
That doesn't even count them.
No. And you would think that would be like, oh, well, that's what it is, right? Well, what is this crap?
Right.
And where is it going? And that doesn't count domestic chemical production either.
I'm getting a little freaked out, I have to admit. Yeah. I'm getting a little freaked out at these numbers. I think everybody should, because they're pretty powerful.
Yeah, and it's also ramping up really quickly, like just in the last 10 years. So in 2008, there's an amazing study done of 1,200 subjects of both European and Americans. And both Europeans and Americans averaged about 10 toxins per cell, which is an enormous body burden, right? That's a crazy ratio. Yeah. Because our body is producing waste, you know, and quote unquote toxins from regular metabolic processes all the time that have to get processed. That's why we have natural detoxification systems, because we got to get that waste out, you know, and then put all this, you know, unnatural stuff on top of it. Well, that study was repeated 10 years later. And in 2018, 1,200 subjects, again, European and Americans, we had jumped to 500 toxins per cell. So in the last 10 years, we have 50x our internal toxic burden.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Right. So at the end of this podcast, you know, I really want you and I to spend a few minutes talking about what can we do at home to limit our exposure. And because there are so many things you can do to lower your, you want to limit the amount of toxins coming at you as much as you can. And you also want to speed up the excretion in a safe way, so it's easier on your body and your thyroid actually has a chance to thrive.
Right. Yeah. We want it up and running and working beautifully.
Yes. Yeah. Cause the thyroid by nature is really delicate and sensitive, to, you know, I think of it as this beautiful, delicate little butterfly.
Yeah. And it's the master gland. So we want it working optimally pretty much all the time. Yeah.
And it regulates every cell in the body's metabolism.
Every cell.
Yeah. So we've got to be taking really good care of it. And unfortunately it's a favorite depository site for things like mercury and toxic halogens and phthalates. Like, it just does not do well in this. And so it's kind of the canary in the coal mine for the rest of the body, right? It goes down well, the rest of the body is struggling, but may not be showing external signs of it yet. May not be showing up on your labs yet, even for years to come. But you can tell something's wrong with the thyroid.
So it can very easily start with just the toxic burden, the toxic load. So that would be more, well, I guess this could be hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's, because even a toxic burden will turn on that autoimmune switch, right?
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, a lot of autoimmune triggers start with gut health, right? Mm-hmm. And so even just take one toxin like glyphosate, that's the world's leading herbicide. It's the active ingredient Roundup from Monsanto. Lovely company. Really wishes us the best.
That's a whole nother podcast right there.
Yeah. And we're getting exposed to this every day, even if you eat organic. It's in 75% of our air and water samples now. So you're getting microdosed with this amazing, lovely little herbicide that creates leaky gut on contact. And so then you get particles going into the bloodstream that never should be there in the first place. And your immune system starts going, oh no, we got to really ramp up, you know, and go into this whole fight response that's really hard to downregulate once the ball starts rolling. And as you know, a lot of those particles, or at least some of them, will look like, for example, gluten biomimickers such as, you know, coffee, unfortunately, those look like, you know, thyroid tissue to the immune system. And so it's on high alert and it starts attacking things that it never intended to. And it's really trying to go after the toxins in the cell, but it gets so overwhelmed that it, you know, the decision making process basically gets screwed up, right? Because we don't want to go down.
That's what I would say.
Yeah,
they're just confused. You know, you get these little soldiers that go out, and they're just confused. They beat up your thyroid because they think it's an enemy, and then you bring in gluten and you bring in toxins, and they think, oh, you know, that looks like the thyroid. So we're going to go out and beat them up, and then we're going to go over and beat up the thyroid again.
Just to be safe. Let's do it one more time.
Yeah, exactly. Just making sure that we kill the enemy. So, yeah, exactly. So, 1, 2, 3.
Going back. So I hope you're liking this. I'm trying to.
Okay, we have exposure. I mean, all over the place. You listed it from, I mean, heavy metal, mold, the food that we eat, the pesticides, the skincare products. I can't even list them all. Plastics, everything. So we're exposed, comes into our body. Liver is supposed to process it. And the liver, right? So it's supposed to be processed through the liver. But then what happens to the liver where it goes, you know what? This just is too much.
So a couple of things are going on. So if for anybody who wants a visual, I know you guys all know where your thyroid is. Your liver is on the right side, between your rib cage and your stomach, like right up in there, right? And it kind of wraps around to the side. And that's a big boy. It's, you know, your second largest organ in the body after your skin. So, and it's performing over 500 functions for us. It's really complex. It's helping to metabolize your food. So, you know, thyroid is regulating metabolism. So is liver, right? And it's also supposed to be this whole body filter, process and produce a bunch of hormones and help conversion of hormones like T4 to T3, right? So it's nice and active. Mm-hmm. And also break down hormones once they've been used and they're basically toxic waste and they gotta go. So that's a lot to ask of one organ in this particularly toxic environment that's changing so quickly. It's very difficult for it to keep up. It is thankfully the most resilient organ in the body, but there's only so much it can do.
Right.
So the liver also produces bile, right? So it's producing bile, cholesterol, hormones, all these amazing, you know, additives to the blood. And bile is basically, if your liver is your whole body's filter, your bile is basically your detergent, but it's expensive. It's basically like liquid gold detergent. So your body doesn't want to throw it out with each laundry load. It wants to recycle it. In fact, 95% of bile salts get recycled and get held in your tiny little catcher's mitt, which is your gallbladder, nestled right up under the liver, right? And the more toxic your burden is, the more difficult it is for your liver to prioritize creating fresh bile, right? Mm-hmm. And also bile is supposed to capture toxins from the liver after, you know, you go through phase one of detoxification in the liver, which is like breaking apart toxins and waste into highly toxic little microparticles. And then phase two of the liver is putting them back together in a new molecular way so that they can safely be processed out through the kidneys or out through the bile. But right. But the stuff that gets dumped out through the bile is supposed to go down into the small intestine, get dumped there and go out through the bowels. But if you have things like neurotoxins, microplastics, these crappy phthalates, you know, heavy metals, those don't get released by the detergent, which is your bile, the way they're supposed to. They actually stick to that motor oil and they get pulled back into the gallbladder only to recirculate again. So your liver goes, well, crap, that didn't work. And now I don't really have the resources to deal with that because I got more toxins to deal with. I'm not going to think about that right now. And your gallbladder goes, okay, great. You know, I'll do something really easy. I'm just going to encase this in cholesterol right now. Because, you know, the liver is making the cholesterol. It's right there, super handy. And the liver and gallbladder both encase toxins in cholesterol. So that just kind of like, I'll just deal with this later. You know, it's supposed to be a short-term storage process. But unfortunately, those calcify and condense over time into liver and gallstones, which further slows down the bile flow and your body's ability to detox through the liver. So you end up with these very, very congested organs that are supposed to have like your liver has 13% of your body's blood volume at any given time. I mean, it is moving and shaking in there. It's like, oh, you know,
yeah.
It's supposed to have really, really high turnover. There's a lot going on. And so every little stone that you add or every little particle of toxins that cannot be excreted in the moment adds up really quickly and creates scar tissue in your biliary tree, which is basically like veins for the liver. There's over 500 miles of bile ducts in there. It's nuts.
That's crazy. Really.
Yeah. And so you get these little stones clogging it up. Guess who gets excited about that? Parasites.
Oh, okay. Wait. We can't go parasites yet. I got to ask you something. Okay. Wait. Let's.
Can you see my face? I'm like so excited. About
I know you love parasites. Just wait. Okay. Is this why though so many people have their gallbladders taken out? Because I see so many of my patients come in. And on their intake sheet, you know, gallbladder removal. And I go, why? They go, I don't know. I was just told that I had to get it taken out.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really fascinating because.
Great ideas can come from anywhere.
I'm so sorry. I don't like you to get the commercials, but this is such a good conversation. It really ties in with the beginning. So I hope you listen. I think we should get a little bit more of it. Here you go.
80% of women have toxic sluggish bile over 40. So this is not a small issue, right? Okay. And if you have toxic sluggish bile, you guaranteed it's been strongly correlated with a sluggish underperforming thyroid. So then you have this axis of, hey, the thyroid's supposed to be regulating the metabolism of the entire body and your liver is supposed to be filtering all these toxins out so that it's free to convert your hormones, right, and process your waste for you safely. But if your bile is sluggish, neither one of those things are happening optimally. And so, yeah, the more sluggish the bile, the more likely it is that you have stones condensing over time in there, and they start out super soft. You do not pick them up on a scan until they are really, really dense and calcified. So we get people coming to us all the time like, I have a gallstone. Or I have 6 gallstones in this duct and I would like to get them out. I'm like, oh, sweetie, you have so many more than that if that's showing up on your scan. But yes, that in the short version to your answer to your questions, yes.
Yeah, okay. And another question before we move on to parasites. I know everyone's gonna be thinking, well, my liver enzymes weren't elevated. No one told me my liver had a problem. So do we necessarily see a toxic burden in like ALT, AST, alkaline phosphatase? Do we see that?
Actually, no, you don't. It's okay. Really common for you to not see that. The way that you will know if your liver needs help is if your thyroid your thyroid labs are showing a poor conversion from T4 to T3. Mm-hmm. That's cue number one. Even if, and this is so common, I'm sure you hear this all the time, they're both in range, so they said I don't have a problem. Okay. Yeah, but if you graph them out and you see a huge drop-off from T4 to T3, it doesn't matter if they're both in range, you have distress showing. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, digestive issues. We blame Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism for constipation and slow metabolism, right? But your bile has to flow for you to not have constipation. It has to. It's part of what's, because your gastric juices and your bile are basically BFFs. They want to flow together. Your gastric juices want to break down the pathogens and the food coming in, and then your bile takes over from there and is like, I've got it from here, babe. I'm going to emulsify the fats. I'm going to flush all this through for you, and I'm going to dump toxins out, and we'll come back, you know, we'll see each other again in the next meal.
Right.
But it can't happen if you have sluggish bile and a sluggish thyroid. You have so many reasons for constipation and for slow metabolism. And this is why we're seeing this like explosion of SIBO and explosion of thyroid disorders. It's like, oh, I have bloating, I have constipation, or I have the diarrhea version of SIBO, which is really just the body's, it's the flip side of constipation. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't have constipation, I have diarrhea. Well, this could still be affecting you because, or intermittent, both. You know, it depends on what your body is dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And reverse, we talk about reverse T3 on here all the time. Normal versus optimal. I like to see reverse T3 below a 12. So this is one of the factors that if someone is having conversion issues, T4 to T3 conversion issues, and maybe their reverse T3 is elevated, maybe it's not. Maybe they're just not responding well. And we're seeing this low free T3 number and optimal free T4. It's just not getting pushed over. So we have to look at the liver.
That's right. Yeah, you do. And as resilient as the liver is, you know, the more sluggish that bile gets, the more you can count on it being a toxic, sluggish environment in the liver and scarring happening in your biliary tree so that you actually have leaky bile into the bloodstream, which is causing more systemic distress. And then the toxins really go haywire. And then guess what happens? Your autoimmune triggers go into overdrive.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Where we see one, we see more than one.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Right, that's why you get, you know, Hashimoto's at first, and then a couple years later, it's like, oh, well, that rash that I've always had that kind of comes and goes, oh, it turns out that's psoriasis. So now you have, you know, autoimmune number two. And then you get, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune number three.
Yep.
You know, it just goes on from there.
Yep, exactly.
So if you're working with thyroid dysfunction, you want to be really putting a microscope to what is going on in your digestive system, because you have so much control over how to heal right there to back off stress from your thyroid little by little in a very gentle way, really at your body's own pace.
I love it. Love it. This is great, great information. Now I will release you into parasite mode.
That's fair. Okay. So the issue with this axis of distress, we'll call it, or, you know, the cycle of distress, is that the more sluggish the liver becomes, the more sluggish your digestion becomes. So all of your digestive fluids are slowing down. And your immune system is really stressing at that point, right? Because of what we talked about already, the, you know, leaky gut, you have these autoimmune triggers, you have your immune system being suppressed from things like the toxins in your liver, and, you know, mold is another one of those that we didn't touch on. You know, we can do that in another time because it's way too big a topic. But this opens the doorway for pathogens and parasites to set up shop that never would have been there in the first place. Right? Because your immune system is supposed to keep that stuff in check.
Right.
We think of parasites as something like, oh, I went to Bali or like Mexico and I drank the wrong water or something. Actually, parasites are in every, you know, body of water in the U.S. And they're probably in every salad bar and they're definitely in every sushi restaurant. So it's not hard to pick them up. It's really more of a question of, is your terrain a match for them to flourish? So if you are experiencing thyroid distress, you already know, living in today's day and age in this decade, that your liver is under a lot of stress too. And it's the perfect place for them to set up shop, in there and in your small intestine. So parasites that love the liver are like Strongyloides, which is a threadworm, and liver flukes, which can have a 25 to 30 year lifespan. Okay. You do not have, oh yeah, isn't that nice? And they are all different colors, shapes, and sizes. They look like angry little lentils, like little asshole sea creatures, like melted Jolly Ranchers. They set up shop and they love to snack on your liver and on the cholesterol that's building around those little forming stones. That's so nice. They want stagnation and your body wants flow. So if you're working on thyroid stuff and digestion stuff, you want to think in terms of flow constantly. How can I support my bowels to be moving? How can I heal my gut so that it's smoothly moving regularly? Get my bile and my gastric juices flowing. How can I relieve pressure from my liver so that I'm not just mad at my thyroid and throwing stuff at it?
Right. Right.
I don't know about you, but I went through like a several year period of like, my fucking thyroid, blah, 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 blah. You know, my body just doesn't work. Talking about it like it had betrayed me, you know?
That's true.
That's true.
And we have to watch how we talk about things too.
Yeah.
You can go see this whole episode. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on multiple links. This is the liver thyroid axis parasite and gallstone. This just is a clip of it. I thought it ties in well with the beginning of this conversation where this doctor talks about autoimmune diseases, the root cause, and getting to the root cause. I mean, this is so good in tying things together. And I like to tie it like all in a big knot. I'd like you to like leave feeling well taken care of. And then I'm just going to end it with a little bit of the Health Ranger Report and Dr. David Wolf interview with Mike Adams. So here you go. I got to get to that. And that, just to give you a little bit, if you've not listened to his, he's someone to listen to and puts out daily information. Sometimes it's like, you know, the Health Ranger puts out scary stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, it's kind of negative. I mean, I don't like to go so negative. So,
incredible guest. One of my oldest friends, actually, strangely in the world, Mr. Mike Adams, the health.
Mike Adams, here you go. We are going to go a little forward right here.
He fall into slums and ruin. What is this whole thing going on in Taiwan? You know more about Taiwan than anybody I think I've ever known, and you have an inside track on it. What's your thoughts?
Well, okay, just to establish background, I lived in Taiwan for 2 years. My wife is from Taiwan, and we maintain lots of contacts with lots of people in Taiwan. So we get a lot of direct information, and also we could translate directly any kind of documents coming out of China or the speeches of Chinese generals or the secret recordings and things like that. I've also interviewed Dr. Yan Limong and Jennifer Zhang, the whistleblower, and so on. So right. I've done a lot of research into this. Now, it's a very complex situation, but from what it appears right now, the big picture, and we can get into details as you want, but it looks like China is practicing to carry out a full naval and air blockade of Taiwan at some point in the very near future. This is going to have devastating impacts on the United States and the entire global supply chain. So there's one corporation in Taiwan called the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, and they have exclusive contracts for the 2-nanometer microchip manufacturing technology that feeds microchips to Apple. So all the iPhones and Android devices for many of the top manufacturers, as well as circuitry that's used in United States military weapons, missile-guided systems, drones. And some of those circuits are used in renewable energy devices such as wind turbines and solar charge controllers and things like that. Without Taiwan, the United States will, frankly, the supply chain will collapse. And much the same is true for many European countries, as well as Japan, South Korea, and Australia. So one of the reasons that China is not, and by the way, interrupt me if you want to interject something here, but I'll just finish up this thought. One of the reasons China has not blatantly just attacked Taiwan is because China would be the backlash attack against China would be waged by a combination of Japan, India, South Korea, Australia now, in addition to the United States Navy. And the U.S. Navy is quite powerful, despite all the shenanigans going on with the woke Pentagon. The Navy is still very, very powerful and capable of defending Taiwan. So that's kind of the summary. I expect a naval blockade of Taiwan before the end of this year.
Wow. So it's coming sooner. That I kind of feel like they're setting up for it. I don't think China ever acts irrationally. They don't seem to act emotionally. Everything's very well calculated. How long have they been calculating this maneuver that's coming up now or sometime in the next year or whenever we're going to see it? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, frankly, China has been planning this for over two decades, but their timeline for this attack against the West was actually for the year 2035. So they are being accelerated into this against their will. And part of that, by the way, was Trump. So Trump waged a very effective economic war against China with tariffs. China was engaged in a lot of illegal trade dumping activity to try to dominate U.S. industry, dumping of solar panels, for example, and, you know, trying to bankrupt the U.S. Trump saw that, you know, whatever you think about Trump, one of the effective things that he did was to attack China's economy, which in effect really weakened China's ability to build more military might. China is building aircraft carriers. They actually have an aircraft carrier factory, and they just released another one recently that won't be combat ready for two more years, by the way, but it is seaworthy. So they're sailing it around. It's just they can't fight with it yet. A lot of bugs to work out. But China has been rushed into this by two factors. One was Trump, but the second one is the Biden crime family. So the Biden crime family is completely owned by China because of the blackmail they have on Hunter Biden. And I probably don't have to tell you, but Hunter Biden's laptop is a gold mine of blackmail involving Chinese underage prostitutes, crack pipes, whatever craziness you could imagine, it's on that laptop. So China's got all that. Joe Biden's going to do whatever China wants. And Joe Biden is about to be removed from office by the Democrats. That's why Nancy Pelosi has just flown to Taiwan, because they're setting her up to look presidential and to actually take over. They're going to bypass Kamala. Actually, they're going to Kamala. The plan on Democrats is Biden's going to be removed, either 25th Amendment or resignation. Kamala will resign over old dirt from her California days. She's super dirty. And then Pelosi is going to take over the White House for some period of time. That's what's being set up. China wants to attack, blockade Taiwan or attack America while Joe Biden is in office, which means the clock is ticking rapidly. China's running out of time. So those are the factors at play.
Okay, wow. So in the, let's talk about the...
So if you've not listened to his, you can go explore it. I thought I have to tie in just a little bit of the crazy news that no one really talks about and the truth, because it's so... If you're watching the mainstream media, you are just being programmed. It is not real media. It is not real news. You have to get it off and turn it off. You have to spare your mind and work on reprogramming that to the proper things. I hope this podcast really ties in all these different knots for you and makes you explore options. I'm looking forward to having more people on and interviews and helping people with their overall health.